Donuts. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Krishna, Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Samavetta Bhakti Vrindiki Jai Go Premanandi All Glories to Some of the Bodies All Glories to Some of the Bodies All Glories to Some of the Bodies All Glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga All Glories to Srila Prabhupada Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasota Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunrivadi Pashtatare Shatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 85, verse 44. Idam ittam iti prayas. Tava yogeshvareshvara. Na vedantyapi yogesha. Yoga mayam kuto vayam. Idam, this, itam, characterized like this, iti, in such terms, prayaha, for the most part, tava, your, yogeshvara, of the masters of yoga, ishvara, O Supreme Master, na vedanti, they do not know. Api, even yogisha, masters of yoga, yoga mayam, your spiritual power of delusion, kuta, what then of, vayam, of us. Translation, what to speak of ourselves, O Lord of all perfect yogis, even the greatest mystics do not know what your spiritual power of delusion is or how it acts. Purport. Systematic understanding of something should include knowledge of both its swarup, or essential identity, and also its visheshas, the attributes that make it different from other things. Maya. The energy underlying all material existence is more subtle than ordinary phenomena. Only God and his liberated devotees therefore can know its swarup and vishesha. Please be merciful to me so I may get out of the blind well of family life, my false home, and find the true shelter of your lotus feet, which selfless sages always seek. Then, either alone or in the company of great saints who are the friends of everyone, I may wander freely, finding life's necessities at the feet of the universally charitable trees. Purport. Srila Bhishma Chakravarti states that in response to Bali's prayers, Sri Krishna invited him to choose some benediction, and in this verse, Bali submits his request. Bali begs to be relieved of the entanglement of material life so he will be free to leave home and wander in the wilderness with only the Lord's lotus feet as his shelter. For his subsistence, Bali proposes he will take kelp from the forest trees at whose feet are fruits to eat and leaves to sleep on for all of us as needed, for all to use as needed. And if the Lord is especially merciful to him, Bali hopes, he will not have to wander alone, but will be allowed to travel in the company of the Lord Krishna's devotees. O Lord of all subordinate creatures, please tell us what to do and thus free us of all sin. One who faithfully executes your command, O Master, is no longer obliged to follow the ordinary Vedic rituals. Purport. The Acharyas explain Bali's thoughts as follows. Reflecting on the possibility that his request for immediate deliverance may have been too bold, Bali Maharaj considers that first he will need to become sufficiently purified. In any case, he thinks, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram must have come to him for some specific purpose if he can receive the Lord's order and carry it out. That will be his best opportunity for purification. Indeed, as Bali states, a devotee acting under the personality of God, his instruction need no longer follow the sacrificial injunctions and prohibitions of the Vedas. So, this is the speech of Bali as a greeting to Krishna and Balaram appearing. And as he's speaking, he doesn't actually know why they've come, what the request is. In any case, he is very pleased to meet them. So, Bali has been given a particular benediction of living on a lower planetary system, but being in the company of the Lord, who acts as his gatekeeper. So Vamana Dev is with him as a gatekeeper, not all the time, but sometimes he comes there. And he is put on a lower planetary system because actually he belonged to a demoniac family, so therefore he should be in that place. And we see even Prahlad is down there, Nasutula Loka. However, it's not actually such a bad place for them because they are devotees of the Lord and they tolerate all sorts of things in existence, but nevertheless he lives like a king down there, so he has no material problems. Of course, the people there are of lower mentality in general, but apart from that, he has the company of the Supreme Lord and some other devotees there. So he's been given a special blessing by the Supreme Lord for his surrender to the Lord. So he's always welcome to see the Lord. So here he sees the Lord in a very particular form, that of Krishna, which is very rare. Krishna doesn't appear in all the time, once in a day of Brahma. So it's a very good opportunity to see Krishna and, of course, Balaram. So he takes this opportunity to praise them. Yeah. So though he is considered to be a great devotee and favored by the Lord, on his part, he feels not very satisfied in one sense, because even though he's been given a place by the Lord and the Lord is there as his gatekeeper, which shows that the Lord is under his control, he is always dissatisfied because that's not the perfect position. He's still in the material world ruling over a hellish planet, of all things. And though the Lord is supposed to be there, he's not there all the time, as Vamanadeva also. So this is not a very praiseworthy position from his point of view. He's laments his position in one sense, that not because he's ungrateful, but because he feels himself not a perfect devotee, so therefore he cannot associate with the Lord in the proper way at all times. So this is, of course, a feeling of the devotee, that he always feels unqualified, and therefore this is some sort of qualification for the devotee. So he feels unqualified in his particular position. So we see here how he's aspiring to be a better devotee, and to he's saying, I should wander about like, you know, a beggar, and sleep under the trees, etc. So he's indicating that he has material attachments and he has to become purified, and that he's, as he says, he's in the blind well of material life, household life, etc. So he considers himself a fallen soul, and he needs some purification in order to advance. On the other hand, we see that from our perspective, he's considered to be a great devotee, and he's an example of Atmanivedana, offering everything to the Supreme Lord. And we see how the Lord has given him specific blessings. So, nevertheless, Bali Maharaj feels very unqualified as a devotee, and he's always aspiring for more intimate association with the Lord. So that is why he expresses himself in this way in these verses. And he also expresses the fact that this verse points out that no one can understand the Lord's intentions. So he also hints by this that I can also not understand why you put me in Suttala Loka of all places, in this particular place like this, whatever. I'm also from a demon family, so why are you showing me such great favor, etc.? Out of humility, he'll say things like this. And particularly in this case, why have Krishna and Balaram come here? I don't know. It's very difficult to figure out the desire of the Supreme Lord. From Krishna's point of view, of course, he's merely fulfilling the desire of his mother, Devaki, who requested that she wanted her sons back. So for Krishna, it's not an issue at all. He's just fulfilling desire of his mother. But for Bali Maharaj, he doesn't really understand why the Lord has come to his particular place. So therefore, he says that no one can really understand your intentions, even the great sages, what to speak of a person like Bali. His words, of course, are quite eloquent, expressing at once the nature of the Supreme Lord. He has an understanding of the how the Lord acts according to his own will, and we cannot really understand that. And he's beyond everything in the material world. He has a supreme position, etc. And he's unaffected by anything in the material world. He expresses how he good appreciation of the Supreme Lord. He also asks, what can we do to become better devotees? How can we please you best? Then he answers that one who follows your order, he is the best person. He is the one who can advance the best. He's no more longer obligated to follow the Vedic rituals and whatever. So simply following your order is the way in which we can please the Lord the most. And this hints at the fact that he wants to ask why the Lord has come there, so how can he serve the Lord? If the Lord appears in Sutala Loka, he must have some purpose. So Bali Maharaj hopes to help the Lord fulfill his purpose. He expresses eagerness to do anything for the Supreme Lord within his capacity. Following the order of the Lord or the desire of the Lord is just another way of saying what is most pleasing to the Supreme Lord. So the Lord may express that in terms of a particular request. In this case, please return the sons of Devaki, like that. And if one does that, that is pleasing to the Lord. So we have particular instances at a particular time in which particular things will please the Lord at a certain occasion. Perhaps he wants to eat, so therefore we feed him at that time, or he wants to go to the forest or whatever. So he has particular desires at certain times. He may express that to the devotees, and the devotees try to please him by making proper arrangements for that. So that's one way in which we can please the Supreme Lord, particular, according to his particular desire. The other way, of course, is in general. We know that the Lord is pleased with the devotion of a devotee. So no matter how it's expressed, the Lord becomes very pleased with that devotion. And thus, it is completely apart from other considerations. If there's great devotion to the Lord is very pleased. So we see, for instance, in the Ras Lila, when they heard the flute, all the gopis immediately left their houses and came to Krishna without considering anything about the family and the duty to the husbands or the parents or whatever. So they came to Krishna because Krishna called them. So their coming was a response to his call, and therefore they pleased him. He was very pleased that they had come in spite of all the obstacles. Because he was pleased, then they were very, very happy. According to the instance, Krishna may have particular desires, and then we please him in that way. But then the general idea is that we just simply express our devotion to the Lord in any way possible, and then he is pleased with that. So he may not make particular requests at all, but the general principle is that we seek to somehow serve him in a very proper way with devotion, and that is pleasing to the Lord. So therefore it doesn't really matter what is offered, so whether it's a leaf or fruit or flower or whatever. If the devotion is there, then Krishna is satisfied. This is, of course, particularly for our activities in sadhana bhakti. We don't get direct instructions from the Lord. So how do we please the Lord? So we have the general instruction. We act with devotion and we offer all sorts of things to the Lord. This becomes more regulated in deity worship, where we offer certain things at certain times, like we offer the boga at certain times, or we offer incense and flowers at certain times. So that's all according to rule, certain times we offer. But the important element there is the devotion. Now, that is what is pleasing to the Lord. Why does Krishna need a flower? Why does he need anything? But he's interested in the devotion. So the offering of the flower is only a way of expressing that devotion, that's all. So as long as we're in the material world, we have to use a material body and we use material objects. That's some sort of imperfection in one sense, because in the spiritual world there is no material objects at all. But here we have material objects, etc. So we have a material body, so we use these in sadhana to please the Lord. And it's not perfect because they're material. Material body and material objects, not perfect. Better to have spiritual body and spiritual objects, obviously, which are eternal and full of purity and spiritual potency. Here our material body is just dull matter. And the object is just destructible matter again. So how is that pleasing to the Lord? Nevertheless, as part of sadhana bhakti, the Lord accepts it by his mercy. But he only accepts it because of the devotion. So in the beginning we have a little devotion, and then we go through different stages up to Nishya and Ruchiya Sakti, we get more and more devotion. But nevertheless, that has to be there in that whole process to make it work properly. This is what is pleasing to the Lord, and this makes the effort of offering something successful, that devotion. It's a practice. And it becomes perfect when we achieve prema. And it's almost perfect when we attain bhava. So in bhava stage itself, the shakti of the Lord actually manifests in a very pure way as slani and samvit shaktis that manifest in bhava itself. So that bhava is the devotion. That we have devotion for the Lord in a certain mode as a servant or as a friend or as a parent, etc. So that devotion takes a particular form with Krishna and is composed of the sladini and samvit shaktis. Before that, it's not really differentiated as sladini and samvit, so it's very general. The more neophyte we are, the more it's covered over by our material desires, etc. But still, there has to be some devotion there, a little bit of devotion. So we get the seed of bhakti, and then the bhakti begins to develop as we go through the different stages. So the devotion is a constant factor there. From the seed to the leaves to the flower and to the fruit. Devotion is continuous throughout all those processes. By doing that, then we please the Supreme Lord. And then we get increase by that. Because the Lord is pleased, then we advance in devotion. Even though we don't get direct instruction from the Supreme Lord at this time, we follow the general principle of trying to offer with devotion, and the Lord is pleased with that. Once we attain spiritual body in the spiritual world, and we enter in the spiritual world, we have spiritual time operating, and all the actions are spiritual, the body is spiritual, the senses are spiritual, the objects are spiritual, we act according to the particular desires of the Lord in pastimes. So we serve the Lord within pastimes, and in those pastimes the Lord has particular desires at particular times, and then we try to please him according to those desires. And it's always changing because the pastimes keep changing. In any case, even there, the attempt is to try to please Krishna. No expectation for ourselves. Bali also realizes that, and therefore he is saying, what type of order we can follow? because he has the good fortune of the Supreme Lord himself personally appearing at this time, and he must have come for some purpose. So if the Lord tells his purpose, then Balik hopes he can serve and please the Lord in that way. And so this is a particular request that the Lord will make, and then he can serve the Lord in that particular way please him by a particular activity. So that, of course, is within the pastimes of the Lord when one directly interacts with the Supreme Lord. However, we don't do that in sadhana. We cannot directly approach the Lord, so therefore we just take the general principle of regularly offering things with devotion to the Supreme Lord, and through that eventually reach the stage of meeting the Lord and then responding to his particular desires.
When it is difficult to understand the other person's mind, it becomes very difficult to serve or surrender to them. How do we, when we are not able to understand, here it said that it is difficult to understand what is Krishna's mind, their thoughts. So it becomes difficult for one to serve him or
We can't know everything about the Supreme Lord because he is infinite in his desires and whatever. And everything in the spiritual world ultimately is unlimited, and we cannot hope to encompass everything with our understanding, even our spiritual understanding, because we are jivas and we have a limitation. So therefore it's natural that no one can really understand the Supreme Lord. But there are certain principles we act on which are very understandable, and that is the devotion. So we know that the Lord is pleased by our devotion. So that much we know. In a particular situation, how he will respond, we don't know. We do our service, we don't know how he's going to respond, but to the best of our ability, we do this with affection and offer to the Lord, and he should be pleased with that. In the particular pastimes of the Lord, sometimes it may not look like he is pleased or whatever, but that is only a part of the pastimes. So that is why the devotees are somewhat puzzled sometimes. Is the Lord pleased by this action or not? I don't know. But that is part of the pastimes. In terms of sadhana bhakti, of course, we simply act with as much devotion as we can, and the Lord responds to that. But of course, we don't know because we don't see the Lord directly, so we don't know his immediate response or whatever. But even in the spiritual world, where the devotees cannot understand the intention of the Lord, as long as they act with devotion, ultimately, they're successful. So they don't have to really worry about what happens as immediate response of the Supreme Lord and how to understand his mind, because they know that they can never understand it completely.
Krishna Balaram went to Suttala Loka at the same time. What about that Vamanadev? He was there?
It's not mentioned here. Because as I said, sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not there. So in particular cases he's not there, but he seems he's not there all the time. So in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, then he complains to Narada Muni, actually, the Lord looks like he's not here all the time. He sometimes comes and kills a demon or this or that or whatever, helps me, but he's not there constantly. So therefore, Bali Maharaj laments that I'm not very fortunate because I don't have the constant association of the Lord.
Gracias.